A kid can continuously be rebellious as if a mama and daddy let them.
Dr. Tony Evans explores what the Bible has to say about raising kingdom kids.
It's time for us to return to our responsibility with our children and our families so that we calm this chaos down.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. It seems pretty obvious to say that children don't raise themselves, but today Dr. Evans explains why too often that's exactly what happens. Let's join him as he takes us to Ephesians chapter 6 for today's message.
We're living in the day of the adultification of children. When now children are raising parents rather than parents raising children. But what's happening downstream is because there's been a breakdown upstream, and that is because we have misunderstood, misdefined, misapplied the principle of the family, and in particular today, the role of parents. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And there was the deterioration in the culture as the children lived in rebellion against their elders." So what we're having today is children and youth rebellion because there's been a breakdown upstream. He says four things parents should do, starting with the father. Four things in verse 4. All four in verse 4. First of all, he says, do not provoke your children to anger. Translation, be known as an encourager, not a discourager. Don't provoke them. Set them off. Don't create an environment where you're creating an angry child. Create an environment where you're creating an encouraged child. You can't be raising them and cussing them out. Have you ever sprayed water on a drooping plant and see it pop up? That's because it just got encouraged. Yes, you ought to condemn them when they're wrong, but they ought to hear cheerleading. They ought to hear that, yeah, God has made you somebody and you are special and you're not the ordinary. That's why, men, you need to date your daughters so that they know what a date looks like. Because if they don't know what a date looks like, they're going to believe some fool sending them some line that's going to jack them up for the rest of their lives because daddy never showed them how to be treated like a lady. They should learn that from you. He says, you be the encourager. You be the cheerleader. Not just for what they do, but for who they are. Don't just praise them when they hit a home run or score a touchdown. Praise them when they wake up in the morning and say, I am proud to be your daddy. I am excited to be your mother. It is a privilege to see you grow up in our home. He says, don't provoke them to anger. Provoke them to be encouraged. Secondly, he says, nurture them. Bring them up means to nurture. Or as Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay? So let's look at the word train. The word train in Hebrew means to place on the palate. You see, in New Testament days or Old Testament days, they didn't have these machines to grind stuff up and to make stuff nice and soft for the baby to eat. So what the mother did was put food in her mouth and chew it. The baby would not be able to chew it up, didn't have teeth yet, wouldn't be able to swallow it, it's too big, and wouldn't be able to digest it because they're too young. So guess what she did? She made it palatable. He says, train your child. Transfer the information in language that they can understand, receive, swallow, and digest. So, the reason you come to church, particularly men, the reason you come to church is to hear God's word. The problem is, I'm speaking as an adult to adult. But your job is to break it down, break it down, break it down. So you're to go home, you're to chew this what you get from me. I'm going to try to give you some steak. You chew the steak up, break the steak down, and around the table, put it in their mouth so that they can get it at their own level. You are to train up a child, break it down, break it down, break it down, so that they can get what you got and they can get it in a way that they can grasp it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, the word he should go means according to their bent. That is, every child is unique. Every soul is different. Every personality is different. He says, give it to them at their own level. A teenager can understand things in a way a two-year-old can't. So you got to train him according to where he is or where she is in personality and stage of life, which means you got to know the children enough to know that this is a strong-willed child or this is a compliant child. So you got to approach this one a little different than that one because all of them are different. So, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. It doesn't mean that when you do your job, they won't stray. What it means is when you do that, your job, if they do stray, you just hook them with a reel for God, the Holy Spirit, to reel them back in. Because the only reason some of us are here today is because daddy made you go to church. Mama made you go to church. You hated church. You said, when I go to college, I'm never going back to church. But after you graduated, it came upon you that you were not able to shake mama off, shake daddy off, and the Holy Ghost got you one day and started reeling you back in because mama and daddy made you. The only way when I was growing up that I never got to go to church is I had to lie about being sick. And I tried to lie as much as I could. Oh, I don't feel well today. I'm having an asthma attack. That's the only way I can get to church. I cannot conceive of a parent asking a child, do you want to go to church? You don't ask them, do you want to go to school? He says, nurture them, raise them up. It's your responsibility. Then he says, discipline them. Okay, the teenager's not going to like this one. Discipline them. He says, in the discipline, in the corrective procedures of the Lord. Here's your job, my job, our job as parents or parents-to-be. You must break the child's will without crushing the child's spirit. Anybody in here have a battle of wills with your child? You know, starting with the terrible twos? You know? Okay. It's a battle of wills. Okay? Now, assuming you're right, and it is helpful to be right, assuming you're right, you're telling them the right thing to do, and they're bucking it, that will must be broken. That will must be broken, but you must do it without crushing their spirit. That's why the Bible combines discipline with love. It says you correct them while loving them. Okay? You correct them while loving them. The purpose, here it is, of discipline is not venting. It's not, you done tick me off and I'm gonna hurt you. You know, I brought you in, I can take you out, you know? No. It's not venting. That's why sometimes there needs to be a gap between what they did and what you do. Because if you just react based on what they did, you might crush their will and their spirit. You don't want to crush their spirit because it's got to be combined with love. But you do want to reshape that will or that rebellion that they have exercised. Now, the Bible does this in a lot of ways. Verbal warning, God restricts himself from us, or like sending somebody to a room, number of ways. But then there is the rod of correction. The rod of correction is always for the backside, Proverbs 10:13. It's never a slap in the face. Okay, pow, no. No, because then you have reduced to be slapped in the face is to attack the dignity of a person. Okay? The Bible says it's for the back. It's for the backside. The rod was a piece of tree. We call them growing up switches. Okay? Everybody remember a switch? Okay. It's called the rod of correction. He ain't talking about a baseball bat. He's talking about a switch. All right? The rod of correction. Now, let's say what the Bible says about this rod. It says in Proverbs 13, verse 24, where there is no rod, there is no love. Says, if you refuse to spank or physically correct your child, it's because you hate them. Now, I know you may be saying, I love them too much to spank them. God says you hate them too much to spank them because you hate turning them into what they ought to be. And you're going to let them stay like they are. Proverbs 22:15 says, Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Yeah, they're going to be a fool, and you're going to have a rod. And if you want to get rid of the fool, use the rod. He's not talking about child abuse now. He's not talking about venting. That's a whole nother story. Because the goal of the rod is to correct something, not just to vent your anger. Scripture goes on to say, Proverbs 29:15, children who get their way will be a shame to their parents. If they can get whatever they want, if they can throw a temper tantrum, start crying, know you're going to buckle every time, then what you're doing is you're raising a shameless child, because they're going to pout every time they don't get their way. They need to know, on this one, no, you can't have this. Not now. He goes on to say in Proverbs 29:17, correct your son and he will bring you comfort. Meaning if you don't correct him, he's going to bring you grief. All right. Now let me say this about teenagers, because that's when we really get it. Teenage years. Because see, the teenager is struggling between dependence and independence. See, they want to be free, but they can't afford to be. You see, they want freedom, but they don't have no money. They don't have no job. They don't have an education yet. But they don't want to be told what to do either. Am I right, teenagers? So they're kind of in the middle. So here's the rule. You can be frustrated. You can disagree. What you can't do is rebel. That's what you can't do. At least not if you're going to stay there. What you can't do is rebel and be disrespectful. Look at those first three words. Honor your father and mother. Obey your father and mother. Even if you disagree with your father and mother, unless they ask you to disobey God and rob a bank or do something evil, he says that you are to conform under that. Now, you establish the boundaries. These, like a football, these are the boundaries. As long as you play within the line, you're good. I'm going to let you have some freedom. In fact, if you do good within the lines, I'll expand the boundaries. But if you don't, I'm going to shrink the boundaries. So do you want an expanded boundary or you want a shrinking boundary? It all depends on whether you conform. So it's okay to offer rewards. It's okay to say, if you do this and I see you're going to be consistent with your housework, your schoolwork, your responsibilities, I'm going to give you more freedom. I'm going to let you stay out longer. I'm going to give you a bigger curfew. I'll give you a bigger allowance. But if you don't do those things, then I'm going to shrink your curfew. I'm going to shrink your privilege. I'm going to shrink your friends. I'm going to shrink your allowance. It all depends on whether you honor me, treat me respectfully, and obey me, okay? But what you do not allow is rebellion. Rebellion says, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, 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 no. The only way a kid can continuously be rebellious is if a mama and daddy let them. Okay? As long as you're paying the bills, providing the food, providing the air conditioning, providing the heat, providing the roof, providing the clothes, providing the shoes, providing the transportation, rebellion is unacceptable. Because teenagers, what you're going to find is when you get out there on your own, it's a lot better at home dealing with mama and daddy than it is out there trying to make it on your own.
Dr. Evans will come back with some specific steps parents can take to end the chaos when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about the perfect resource to follow up on our current teaching series, Prayers for Victory in Marriage. It'll teach you to call down heaven to help you follow God's blueprint for life in the home. You'll learn how to connect with the power you need to heal resentment, hold on during hard times, rebuild intimacy, and show love even when you don't feel your needs are being met. Together, you'll learn how to go from fighting in your marriage to fighting for your marriage. This is such an important resource for couples in our culture that we'll send a copy of Prayers for Victory in Marriage to anyone who can help support the alternative with a contribution, no matter how large or small. This special offer is only available for a short time longer, so don't wait. Make your donation and your request today when you visit TonyEvans.org or let one of our staff members help you by calling us at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with more of today's lesson, right after he brings you this special invitation.
I want you to join my beautiful wife, Lois Evans, for an exclusive Facebook Live event where she will be interviewing our daughter, author Crystal Evans Hurst, to discuss her new book, She's Still There. It's a journey in rescuing the little girl who lives inside of every woman. The broadcast will take place Thursday, July 27th at 11 a.m. Central Time. Both women will be on hand to discuss the new book and the challenges that many women face in trying to reconcile who they are as a woman in light of past dreams and plans. Please follow my wife on Facebook at facebook.com/Mrs. Lois Evans to participate in this event. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, it says, if a mother and father have a rebellious child, and this was an older child, because it says he's a glutton and a drunkard. So we ain't talking about a 2-year-old, 3-year-old who's rebellious. We're talking about somebody entering into those upper teenage years, and he's just going crazy. He's lost his mind, all right, or her mind. He says, if a mother and a father have a rebellious teenager that they try to get under control and they refuse to get under control, you bring him to the elders, it says. And the elders sit them down and look at them and say, now, you're going to get this straight now. So you know they didn't have a whole bunch of rebellion in Israel, because rebellion was unacceptable. It is unacceptable. You don't have to agree with your parents. You don't even have to like your parents. You don't have to love your parents. But you better, teenagers, honor your parents, and you better obey them unless they are contradicting God, because if you don't, you're cutting your own life short. We had a single parent, and we get single parents to do this from time to time, who had an incorrigible teenager, okay? This is a 15-year-old fool, okay? A 15-year-old fool, but she's a single parent. He's twice her size. He's stronger than her. So she can't hit him, and she can't correct him, and he's telling her, I don't care what you say. I ain't doing it. I come in when I want to. She said, what do I do with this kid? I can't take it anymore. Get that boy up here to the church. And so the mother brought the boy up to the church. We got 5 deacons in that room with that boy. And those 5 deacons said, if you go home and you give your mama any more trouble, your mama has given us permission to spank you. Let me explain to you what's going to happen to you if we got to come over to your house and spank you on behalf of your mother. We're going to wear your butt out. That woman ain't had no more trouble out that boy. You know why? Because there was some men who showed up. There was some men who showed up. And so you are to discipline them. Father took his son to the toy store. He said to the store manager, it's my son's birthday. I want to buy my son a toy. Help him find a toy. So they went up one aisle. Kid didn't like anything in that aisle. Went up another aisle, didn't like anything in that aisle. Went up another aisle, didn't like anything in that aisle. Went another. This went on for an hour and a half. Kid doesn't like a thing. So now, 3 people are mad. The son is mad, he can't find anything. The manager's mad because he can't find the son anything. And the father's mad because they're taking up all his time. So the father says to the manager, why can't you find my boy a toy? The manager, ticked off too, said, because what your boy needs, we don't sell here. He needs somebody to wear him out. It is the role of parents, and in particular the father, to make sure that there is no chaos in the home. Unacceptable. Because that's for me and my house. That's how we roll. Finally, it says, instruct them. He concludes verse 4 with instruct them. Teach them to operate under divine guidelines so that when they leave, they still have the guidelines. So that when you're not there telling them what to do, they still have the guidelines. Deuteronomy 6 says, teach them convincingly, consistently, creatively, and comprehensively. It says you ought to teach them. That's one of the reasons you come to church. You come to church to hear God's word, but that's not the only reason. You come to church to repeat what you heard. They should hear it over and over again. The reason why men should be the first ones in church on Sunday is so that you can get all the information so that you can go home and pastor your own family. Because a man is supposed to be his family's pastor. I'm supposed to be the pastor of the men. The men's supposed to be the pastor of their own homes. You're supposed to be there. See, so this is what I learned today, and this is what I want to reiterate to you. You say, well, I haven't been to Bible study, and I haven't been to Bible college, and I haven't been to seminary. Well, I've been to Bible college. I got a master's degree, and I got a doctorate degree, so I got all the information you need. You go home and you, so I use all my training to bring it here so that you can grab it and take it there so that there can be the replication of spiritual truth in the home. That's the goal. That's what it means to man up or to woman up from a parental standpoint. Now, in conclusion, you may say, well, you don't understand my situation. My kids are already big and grown and they've left and I've already messed up. I can already see the negative from my failed parenting. That you can't go back and re-raise them. So if they've gone left, then what you do is you ask God to bring a wind to blow them back on course. God may have to do something independently of you. What you do is you call them and you say, no, I failed in this area, in this area, this area. I'm sorry. Whatever little I can do now to bring us back together, I'm going to do. But at least I'm going to pray for you. That may be all you can do, but that's something. If we're going to stop the crisis, we got to go back upstream. There were some young bull elephants, and they were cutting up crazy in the jungle. They were just going crazy. They were tearing down trees. True story. Tearing down trees, killing smaller animals. The bull elephants had gone crazy. They were trying to figure out why this herd of elephants was causing all this chaos in this particular area of the jungle in which they were located, and they noticed something. There were no adult bull elephants. They were all, the big adults had been killed for ivory and all of that. So there were no male bull elephants, adult bull elephants there. So the baby bull elephants had lost their minds because there was no corralling them. So they went and captured some bull elephant adults and transported them into the jungle where the baby bull elephants had gone crazy. When the big bull elephants arrived on the scene, they began flapping their ears. They began flapping those big ears and making a hollow sound. Woo! And they began making a sound, flapping their ears faster and faster. And the more they flapped their ears and the more they made the sound, the calmer the younger bull elephants became until they settled down. Why? Because the male bull elephants had returned to the herd. It's time for us to return to our responsibility with our children and our families as kingdom men, as kingdom women, so that we calm this chaos down.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to wrap up the program with a word of prayer. First, though, I wanted to let you know that today's lesson was part of Tony's current teaching series, The Kingdom Family. This 6-lesson collection will teach you how to keep the epidemic of family failure from infecting your home, while pointing you toward the sense of purpose and fulfillment you've been longing for. Visit TonyEvans.org for details on getting a copy. And when you do, don't forget to request your copy of the new book I told you about earlier, Prayers for Victory in Marriage. Yours with our thanks when you make any contribution to help us keep this program coming your way. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans explains to husbands that if there's trouble in your marriage, it's just possible that there isn't enough dying going on in your relationship. Right now, he's back to wrap up our time together with a word of prayer. Dr. Evans?
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God that goes forth through this ministry and for every ear that hears it. I pray that you will use the word in the life of each person individually so that they know that they are hearing from you and are transformed by what they hear. I pray that that transformation touches them at their place of need, wherever they're hurting, struggling, wherever they're in pain, or wherever they're celebrating. May you be the center of that, and may they be able to say, because of the word that they've heard and because of the true God that they're interacting with right now, that you have showed up and shown off on their behalf, doing good by them no matter what their circumstances happen to be. Thank you for how you're going to touch every listener today in your own special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.